Luke 24 this morning. Great portion of scripture. Let's pray with me before we read. Father, thank you today. Thank you that the Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit. Spirit sent the church. The church sent the gospel. And the gospel gave life. Thank you for what an eternal plan. I pray that you would just touch our lives this morning. Throughout this day, the church service at 11 o'clock, tonight at 6:30. Thank you, God, that we're with you and we're unstoppable. An unstoppable Jesus, an unstoppable God, an unstoppable gospel. Death could not stop you. Unbelief cannot stop you. Human reason cannot stop you. The great advances that have been made in this world today cannot stop you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 24, two verses this morning. First one is verse 16, and we're going to speak a little bit about this chapter because it really is an amazing portion of scripture on resurrection life, on the life of resurrection, that for us, Easter, and all of us here and wherever we're listening today, it's a great day of celebration, but I want to walk with God in resurrection life. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. And he talks about knowing God, and it's used in a certain tense, which means it's progressive, with a purpose, progressive with a purpose, that I know God. We're born again and thank God for his love. We receive Jesus Christ as personal saviors and we know God. But I want to keep knowing God. I want to progress in a purpose of knowing him. This is so important in our Christian lives that I never come to a place where I plateau and that's where it ends. And that, yeah, I know God. I've known God for all these years. But that every moment of every day, and every week and every month and every year, I can be knowing God, getting to know God. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said the same thing, that I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Paul says, I know God. I know God. I know God. Joseph knew his brothers, but his brothers knew him not. 45:7 of Genesis. And so God knows us, and I want to know God. I want to know God more and more and more. And that's why everything that takes place in our lives, great opportunities and open doors to know God, to know him, really. We can look at things and say, I wish that would happen. I wish that would not have happened. I want to see this take place. I want this to be taken out. But yet in all of them, and this is amazing for all of us, they can be opportunities to know God. I heard Richard Wurmbrand say in a devotional one time that he would never, ever have traded in his 17 years in prison for something else. Because he said in that prison time, he really got to know God in such a personal way. You could say, that's crazy. I would never want that to happen. I'm not saying I would want that to happen for myself or anyone. But he said that in that time, I got to know God like never before in my life. Never before in my life. And great, great opportunities to know him. So in Luke chapter 24, two of them are going away from Jerusalem. And it was very much clear, I believe, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15, Luke 24, 47. John 20 and Acts 1, that they were to remain in Jerusalem. And yet, I'm so thankful that even when I go in the wrong direction after initiation, God decides he's going to walk with me. He's going to follow me. I like that. You know, not only am I following God, maybe I'm not following God. Here's a good one. Maybe I'm not following God, but he's following me. He's not only with me, he's following me. By the way, some people think they can hide from God, you know. They can hide from God and go into all kinds of lifestyles and as if God doesn't know what's going on. Excuse me. So they're on their way out. They're going towards Emmaus. They're going to what some people call like a halfway point. So many furlongs from Jerusalem. And they're just going. And they're, as Pastor Eugene described, they're a little bit troubled, a little bit fearful, very confused, and really have no idea. I mean, really, they missed it. I was thinking about how they identified Christ to Jesus himself. They're talking to Jesus, you'll see this in a moment, and they're saying, well, he was a prophet before God and man. No, he wasn't a prophet. He was God's son, and he wasn't just a preacher and teacher of the word. He was the word. He wasn't just before God and before man. He was the God-man. It's so interesting, that mistaken identity. They had a mistaken identity. And when I have a wrong concept of who God is, it really affects my life. Really affects my life. And you know, they just were just puzzled, confused, living in human reason. And Jesus walked alongside of them. He says, what are you talking about? They communed among themselves and they were reasoning. That's the word that's used, a communication, a talk, just communing and living in reason about what had taken place. And for many people, Easter can be a very reasonable holiday, holy day. But there's something so far beyond that. But something had happened to them, and this is in verse 16. And I believe because of really not receiving the light that God graciously wanted to give them, something took place. And look at verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. This word in the Greek language means their eyes were like stuck fast. Their eyes were just held. They couldn't see spiritually. Obviously, they could see physically because they were walking. They're walking. They could see. But their eyes were spiritually darkened, held fast by wrong concepts, wrong thinking. Darkness had set in. And their eyes were holden, and they didn't know him. I know in the situation here was just for that circumstance, but overall, I can see that there were times, and there can be times in my life, where my eyes are holden, and I don't know God in the situation. And he is so gracious and so loving and so kind and so merciful that he'll find them and go with them. And just talk with them in such a... I was thinking how gentle it was and how the one who was called the meekness and humility of God himself would just be with them and commune with them and walk with them and stay with them and eat with them and break bread with them. And then it says their eyes were opened. Their eyes were first held and then they were opened up in verse 31. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Their eyes were open. Their eyes were holden. They didn't know him. And then their eyes were open. He opened their eyes and they knew him. I like this part though. And then he vanished out of their sight. Just to keep us wanting more and going after God. And I was thinking about this important truth, that my eyes would be opened to who Jesus Christ is in my life. Not just on a day or a period of time, but every moment of every day, that I would desire to know him, to know him. And this is so key to the Christian life, that churches would have a great desire, and they do, to know him, to know Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I wonder, when we look at situations where people are not coming, not being drawn, is it because he is not being exalted and lifted up? And this is, to me, so important for my own personal life, to lift up Jesus Christ, to exalt him, not to lift up myself, not to lift up a denomination, not to lift up a problem, not to lift up a test, not to lift up a trouble, not to lift up a financial crisis, not to lift up what's taking place in our country today. I know it's there and it's real, and there's great sympathy and concern for people that are struggling with these things that are going on today. But am I going to lift him up? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. I want to know him and then lift him up. And how important this is in our lives. You know, the last words, and I always bring in an African story into every message if I can. The last words and the last moments of the life of David Livingstone, who spent 37 years in Africa, and they say walked 35,000 miles on foot. You got to be kidding me. Sometimes I have a hard time walking to the parking lot. He did that on foot. And then he said, I love this statement. I read it, I think, yesterday. He said, when I think of my Jesus, his last words, his dying words were this, on his bed in Chitambo, Tanzania. My Jesus, my life, my King, my all. Isn't that something? He's my Jesus, he's my life, he's my King, he's my all. And he said this, what he has done for me, as I view it, I never made a sacrifice. After all those years in Africa and all that he went through, the losses of health and family, he says, I never made a sacrifice when I think about the sacrifice of God himself for me. Of God himself for me. And so to really think of resurrection life in something that's so personal and it prevails in our lives and it's operating in my life. When it comes to family, when it comes to job, when it comes to friendships, when it comes to every situation in our lives, that we are relating to Jesus himself. How many times did it say that? I mean, 24:15. I just want to read these verses. They're amazing. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. That's amazing. Jesus himself drew near. 24:27 says this, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. Himself. 24:36, and as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be to you. Verse 39 and 44. And on it goes. You can just keep seeing over and over again. He says, these are the scriptures concerning me. Jesus himself in my life, Jesus himself in my personal walk with God, lifting up Jesus himself. Sometimes it can get so confusing and it can get so detail orientated and it can get so in such a way in our lives that we are just so occupied with so many things. And not really, even as believers, fellowshipping with Jesus, what? Himself. My gift can become more important than the one who gave it. Jesus himself gave us gifts. Jesus himself heals us. Is the healing more important than Jesus himself? Some people exalt some things that are incredible. Jesus himself is my provision financially. Does the finances become more important than Jesus himself? Jesus himself gave me a wife and a family. But does that family become more important, become more valuable? And we love our families and all that. Please don't take this wrong. But it's Jesus himself that gave me a wife. Jesus himself that gave me children. Jesus himself that gives you grandchildren. Jesus himself. And by the way, some people can go so occupied with churchianity that they miss, even in the church, Jesus himself. That's Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I have somewhat against you. You have left me, abandoned me, aphemia is the word, deserted me. You forgot all about me, Church of Ephesus. You've left me your best love. Oh, you're functioning. You're operating. That's why I love Revelation chapters 2 and chapter 3. Jesus himself comes in seven different manifestations to seven different churches, revealing himself, God himself. These guys are confused. They're walking away from Jerusalem. They're going on another path, right? He's risen, and they're walking away. But, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and your concern and your compassion. He's following them. And he walks up alongside of them, and he's willing to be with them. He's willing to be with them. He unveils himself to them personally, in a personal life. That's why Jesus himself has given us the Holy Spirit himself. So the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. The Holy Spirit is not just a power. The Holy Spirit is a person. I know that sounds crazy. We know that. But it's amazing in John 15 and 16, how it says so many times, I think 10 times, and he, the Spirit, will glorify me, and he will show you things to come, and he will convict you of sin. Holy Spirit's not a power, he's a person with power. The Spirit himself. It's the Holy Spirit that changes a person's life. A Holy Spirit that comes in, the person of the Holy Spirit, in a family, in a marriage, in a church, in an outreach. The person of the Holy Spirit. God himself. God himself. It's incredible. In my personal life, God himself. Not just a system. Not just an organization, not just an evaluation of how things are by sight, but I need to meet every moment of every day Jesus, who? Himself. Jesus himself. It's incredible. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so it's no different today than it was then. And he's walking alongside of us. His objective is to get us back to himself. And I'm not talking about losing God. We can be people who are born again. We have Jesus Christ in our life. We'll go to heaven. That's an absolute certainty and surety based upon eternal security. But God so much desires to be fellowshipping with us himself. This personal walk with God. And you know what? We live in an impersonal world. And we have an impersonal devil. The devil's not a person. Are you with me? And then we have self, the old sin nature, the old person. And all these are trying to draw us away from who? Jesus himself. Jesus himself, this personal walk with God. Everything that happens during this pandemic, during this time, you know what? I have an opportunity, and I want, and I believe, and I know it's going to change. Everything's going to go back, whatever. But I don't want it going back to normal. I want it going back to Jesus himself. That which is spiritual. What could happen if we're not careful is we're praying that everything goes back to normal, and then we just begin to live another normal life without Jesus himself. And Jesus said, you can meet me in this. You can meet me before this, you can meet me in this, and you can meet me after this. Jesus himself. This is a great opportunity. Wow, I was talking with Pastor Carl and Susie this morning in India. I really pray that God's going to heal him, when God's going to heal him. And I had just a great time, and they're watching. But when I talk to them, and when I've been with them, in both of their lives, I experience Jesus himself. When I met Pastor Stevens, I really came in contact Christ in you, the hope of glory, with Jesus himself. When I'm working here under Pastor Schaller and we're here together, I see in Pastor Schaller Jesus himself. Are you with me? You don't want to be interested in me. You want to be interested in Christ in me. Because me in me, there's no glory. But Christ in me is the hope of glory. Jesus himself, this personal time with God. Abraham needed it. He was called in Genesis 12. God called him, Genesis 15, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. Genesis 17, I'm El Shaddai. Genesis 22, I'm Yahweh Jireh. He kept appearing to Abraham, ministering to Abraham with a personal walk with God. This is what Jacob needed. He was involved with religious things. And then God broke him at the Fort Jabbok. And he says, your name is no more Jacob, which means trickster, supplanter, schemer. Your name is now Israel, one who has power with God. Jacob needed to meet God himself. Moses had to meet in Exodus 3, God himself. Ruth knew God himself. Are you with me? This is really good. Isaiah, unclean and undone, but have you seen God himself? Look, put your eyes on the king. Jeremiah, prison, family rejection, but you know God himself in Jeremiah chapter 1 as God reveals himself. And Ezekiel, God himself. And Daniel, you could be in the prison. You could be in the lion's den. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to meet God himself. Right in the midst of that trial and that trouble and that difficulty. That's why we don't have to fear trials and troubles and difficulties. Because in the middle of them, in the furnace, guess who I meet? God himself. God himself. Oh, that's who Paul would meet. I read Revelation this morning. I was reading from Revelation chapter 1. Listen to this just for a moment. I don't remember all of it, but he sees the Son of Man with a garment down to his feet. He has a golden girdle around the garment. His hair and his head and hair are as white as snow. His eyes are a flame of fire. His feet are like burned in fine brass. His voice is the voice of many waters. In his right hand he had seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining, his countenance. That's amazing. He's in the midst of the seven candlesticks, the churches. And John saw him, and he did what? He fell at his feet. He just collapsed. He just collapsed when he saw the majesty of God in Revelation 1, 13 through 20. And I love this. And then God touched with his right hand, he touched John. He said, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am Alpha and Omega, he that was alive and was dead, and am alive forevermore. John met who? On Patmos at 95 years old, in a prison, in an island prison for his faith. Nobody's there. He's all alone. He's sick and he's old. And guess who meets him there? God himself. God himself. It's amazing. God himself in my trial. God himself. I'm not facing storms alone. I've got God himself in the boat. They're like crazy in Matthew chapter 8. They're like crazy. Help us! We're going to die! The one who made the ocean is in your boat. God himself. He's asleep. By the way, he's asleep at a place. There's a pillow right where they would stir the boat. Right there. They steer it there, and it's a long pole, and there's a pillow there. He was asleep on the pillow. God's got my direction. Hallelujah. He's got my life. God himself. And yet there, and I understand it, I would probably be doing the same thing. I wouldn't be screaming even louder than anybody. Help us, we're going to die. Same thing in Matthew 14. He comes walking on the water this time. I love it. He just gets up and says, be still in Matthew 8. Then in Matthew 14, he left them to themselves in the boat. And then he came walking on the water. What I love about Peter is he says, I'm going out in that water too. And even though he got fearful when he started to sink, Jesus grabbed his hand. Amen? God himself. And look at when it says, there's so many scriptures here in Luke 24. And then he opened up the scriptures. And who did he show them in the scriptures? Himself. Himself. He showed them all the scriptures from Psalms and Proverbs and through the Bible, everything concerning himself. So when I have an opportunity to hear the Word of God and study my Bible and go to Bible school, you know what's really taking place? I'm meeting God himself in the scriptures. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, Psalm 47 and 8. He's in the book. He's the Word. When I open my Bible this morning, I'm fellowshipping through the Spirit. I confess before God, give me mercy for my sins, my thoughts, my words, my motives, my will, everything that's contrary to you. And I say, God, cleanse me, Lord, make me new experientially. And now I open your book and speak to me out of your book. I want to find God in the book, not black letters on white pages, but God what? Himself. God himself. God himself. And then here they are, and they're amongst themselves. They're gathered together. And that's in the 36th and 39th verse. Yes, you might call it the church. And then it says, Jesus himself stood in their midst. You know where you find Jesus? In the church. Oh, somebody said to me yesterday, who needs a church? You do. What do you mean, who needs a church? I need a church, and the church needs me. Hallelujah. He's in the midst of the church. He's not just the Word of God. He's in the Bible, but he's the head of the body. Hello? You know, body, head, body, head, body. Okay. You find Jesus himself in the church. That's incredible. That's why we love fellowship. That's why we don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And even though there's things going on now, we can communicate, we can talk to people. There can be all kinds of things that can take place. Because God himself is in the church. And so Jesus just didn't just come in and appear to the Sanhedrin. He didn't come in and appear to the Roman centurions or go to Caesar or go to all these so-called hierarchical people that were operating in Jerusalem. He went to his church. He was in the church. He himself. I know there's people in government, but Jesus is in the church. He's in the church. Are you with me? Jesus himself, that's why church is so important. That's why we have 768 churches around the world. We see this great desire and given by God. We want to plant churches, and this is not gonna stop us. Hello? You watch what the results will be of church planting. We said we want 1,000 churches, and I believe God's going to do that. Jesus himself in the church. Jesus is, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about people that are gathered together where two or three are gathered in my name. I am what? With them. I'm in their midst. Jesus himself in the church. Wow, can you imagine? Maybe one or two of them heard about it. And they seem to, the other ones and with the woman, these are idle tales. But then when God came and appeared himself in the fellowship that was going on, wow, peace be with you. Now they can be sent. And by the way, my third point is, the gospel is all about Jesus himself. He says you're going to be witnesses when in the Father's power, in the Holy Spirit's power, in the promise of the Father, you're going to be witnesses unto who? Unto me. We're witnesses unto Jesus himself. We bring the gospel. We're bringing the gospel and telling people about Jesus himself, who he is and what he's done and what great news that is. It's a lot better than the news I'm listening to. We'd like to do that less and less. We've got good news. We've got great news. We've got glad news. We've got grace news to give people during this time. What an opportunity. It's amazing. In my personal life, Jesus himself. In the scriptures, Jesus himself. In the church, Jesus himself. And in the gospel, Jesus, what? Himself. Jesus himself. And that's why we just keep going. Because we're going with Jesus himself. Jesus himself. What a great opportunity we have to meet Jesus himself in prayer, meet Jesus himself in the word, meet Jesus himself in the body, meet Jesus himself in the gospel, meet Jesus himself in our families, meet Jesus himself at work, meet Jesus himself in our neighborhoods. We meet and we commune with Jesus himself, and then we bring Jesus himself to a lost and dying world. Father, thank you today. We thank you for Jesus himself. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not looking unto people first, but Jesus. Acts 7, 55 through 60, I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Ah, stone me, what do I care? I see God himself. I see Jesus standing in the glory of God. Thank you, God. Jesus himself. And then all of a sudden, Peter, James, and John, they didn't see Moses and Elijah, but Jesus only. We thank you, God himself. God himself. He so much desires to walk with us. He lives in us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to be with us and fellowship with us every moment of every day. We thank you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God himself. And we thank you. If you are here, and you're not really here, but you're listening to me today, if Jesus is not your personal Savior, Jesus himself saves. It's not baptism. It's Jesus himself. It's not speaking in tongues. It's Jesus himself. It's not being a church member. It's Jesus himself. It's not giving money. It's Jesus himself. Let Jesus himself come into your life. Say, Jesus, save me today. Come into my life and set me free from myself so I can enjoy and get to know Jesus himself. Himself. Not myself, himself. I receive you as my personal Savior. I want to be born again. I want to be born of the Spirit himself. So, Father, thank you. That's your prayer. You say that prayer. Communicate with us somehow. We thank you. Help us today to operate and live in the person of Jesus himself. In his name we pray. Amen.